Are you looking to modernize your veterinary practice by offering virtual care to pet owners? Fortunately, there's an easy solution from the podcast sponsor, Medici. That's M-E-D-I-C-I. Medici is a telehealth solution built for veterinarians. I've made it easy to check out Medici with a link in the show notes, or you can head over to their website, medici.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. Medici lets you text, call, and video chat with clients with their easy-to-use app. Send or receive images and videos of pets, stay VCPR compliant, and get paid, which is always a wonderful thing, for delivering convenient care right from your phone.
Hi, this is Dr. Aaron Smiley, and I've offered telemedicine to my clients since I started. In 2017, I integrated paid telemedicine with Medici.
Ready to go virtual? Visit medici.md, that's M-E-D-I-C-I.md, or call 512-967-6454 to learn more. And with that, here's the show. Welcome to the Veterinary Success Podcast. My name is Isaiah Douglas. Today, I'm joined by Dan Routh for another radio show. Dan, thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, of course. It's been a few weeks. What's the topic today? What are we talking about?
Yeah, so a culmination of different things that have come out. And I think as we work through the content, you'll see all these different pieces coming together. And it's a topic that I really know needs to be discussed. And as we chatted offline, we're both not qualified necessarily to have the conversation at the depth it needs to. But I think anytime that we can shed some light and bring some perspective on this, it's important. And that's really coming at the whole work-life balance, mental health aspect of the challenges within veterinary medicine. And with that, one of the questions, and I always ask for people to send questions in because that makes these shows more engaging and fun for us when we have those questions. So again, if you have those questions, send them to us, either Twitter, LinkedIn, however you want to get them to us. But with that, I had a question about work-life balance and how to juggle things. And everyone goes through that. But then also today I got an email actually this morning from a client, and I'll just give you a little bit of content from that to help set the stage of kind of the work-life balance. So she reached out to myself and the CPA she's working with and said that she's really been struggling to find an associate. She has a practice that is rural and cannot figure out, you know, why she's not being able to attract that person. She talked about how she's really overwhelmed the majority of the time. She's at the max for seeing patients and clients, and she feels like, you know, she has a good staff, comes home exhausted. And she said, "I feel like my outside time revolves around avoiding people the best I can." That to me was a big trigger of there's absolutely some things going on that she's not happy and satisfied. And she goes in to talk about how she feels really underappreciated by her team, just all the different things that are there for me to have a red flag of she's having some struggles with feeling like this is the right place. And there's some detail that I'm not going to share behind this, but she just talked about, you know, she's putting all her time, energy, money, sanity into making this thing work. She just doesn't feel like it works. And then she's not in the right mind space to then enjoy life when she's not working. And she talked about, she just was recently married and they've had their conversation around what does her next stage of life look like. And she talks about what's ideal for her and working less and that work-life balance. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up to let a lot of people know that, hey, you're not alone. It's a challenge. And we're going to have a call later this week. I kind of knew this was coming. Chat more through to make sure either, you know, maybe she sells the business and brings on a partner. And I think we've talked about that you don't have to do everything alone. Right now she is, you know, that solopreneur and that sole business owner. Or maybe she just sells outright and then goes to being an associate. And that is something that's been talked about as well. But with that, Dan, I just wanted to kind of share that story, an example, and then kind of get your thoughts on work-life balance and what you've seen with Kelsey's experiences, but also, you know, friends, family, others that you know in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's a struggle that I think is not unique to medicine. A lot of business owners go through this, especially as you're getting to the point of max capacity in your role, but also as you're growing your family, getting married, life transition. Each one of those is going to create a different complexity within your personal life as well as the business. You know, specifically in vet med, obviously my wife's, she's only an intern at the moment, but just through her conversations with, you know, past owner she's worked for and just how much their business is entwined with their personal life. I mean, everything you just mentioned, it's completely true in terms of wanting to isolate themselves. You know, when they go home from work, they're mentally drained. The best example I can think of this is, I see this all the time, especially in the doctor space in vet med, is public speaking. A lot of paid speakers out there to do conferences, they go to universities, you know, maybe they're doing continuing ed speeches or practice consulting speeches. A lot of them are introverts and they seem like the life of the party when they're out there talking, but they get home and they have to decompress and they come off like they are the most outgoing person. But really when they get home, they are just completely exhausted. And I think that's the same thing that's happening within these people that are owning businesses. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with the two solutions you mentioned, Isaiah, of potentially completely selling and walking away and going and becoming an associate or part-time somewhere. Or I think it's, I honestly think the more people involved, the more that you can have partners, you get to have interaction throughout the day, you have people to bounce ideas off of. Adding a business partner or potentially selling your practice, become a minority, you know, maybe non-operational partner, really good for work-life balance. I mean, I think you really just have to prioritize what, you know, what's important to you. Is working, you know, 70, 80, 90 hours a week really important to you and doing everything yourself, or is outsourcing and maybe finding some high quality partners, or maybe it's time that you hire yourself and you bring in associates below you so that you can spend more time working on the business rather than in the business. I hate that phrase, but it's so true. You know, it's a struggle that every business owner has. Yeah, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation that your client is in, but all too common. All too common.
And the way that I thought about it too is, you know, we've talked at length, not only in the interview where we outlined, you know, really your story and bringing people up to speed with who you are, but then each radio show about we're advocates for practice ownership and there's a reason behind that. And I think sometimes people hear that and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's just easy for you to say that. And it is, but again, like I've started a business, I know it's hard and it does take time. And there is a lot of stress that's involved with that. But at the end of the day, if it's too much, like your mental sanity, mental health is too valuable to jeopardize that for practice ownership. Like at the end of the day, you cannot do something that you hate or is not you that doesn't work. The reason we're such advocates for practice ownership is, again, if you're able to generate a higher income doing something that you love, which is veterinary medicine, it will help alleviate some of those stressors when it comes to debt burdens and lifestyle and all those other things from a financial perspective. If you are able to have a higher income, do the work that you love, and that can help you offload, like you said, Dan, some of those, you know, things maybe you don't like by hiring outside help, that can really then up the job satisfaction and you know, just that feeling of, you know, what maybe was success to you in years past, of that vision of being able to do what you love while still making an above average income. That's why practice ownership is important. That's why we, you know, push people to not just take someone at their word when they say, oh, you can't do that because you're young. Well, okay, ask them why. Like, why do they feel that way? And push back. Again, you have to find what's right for you and your family situation. And there's some things that are more important than money. And that's absolutely true. That's why personal finance is personal first, and then it's finance, because you have to find something that personally fits for you.
Yeah, and I think you were at this conference last week, Isaiah, but I saw on Twitter one of the key quotes that came out of one of somebody's talk at this conference, but it was that personal finance is a lot more about personal than it is money and finance. And it's about 90% personal, and money is just a small portion. So everything, even though it's financial related, it's all going to revolve around the personal situation to each and every person.
I was to say, and with that, yeah, great conference. XYPN Live was awesome. I'm a member of XY. I would encourage people to check out what XY is doing. If they ever had questions, they have some good consumer facing resources as well. But not to derail this conversation, going back to the work-life balance piece, as we were chatting about this before, Dan, you shared some really great articles that have come out recently. I know Banfield also recently announced their big initiative around mental health. So do you want to share some of those resources, content, and we'll kind of walk through those?
Yeah. So beginning of September, as a lot of people know, is the suicide awareness, kind of the National Prevention for Suicide Week and National Day of the Year. It was kind of a few different things kind of happened all at once in terms of, I'm sure this is why a few articles were posted when they were, but also more personally, my wife kind of just through Facebook had found out through a colleague, very long connection, that another young veterinarian, this young woman, 30s, had taken her own life, unfortunately. And, you know, it brought up a lot of the conversations that my wife and I have, just with her going through her internship year and all the struggles around burnout and finances and imposter syndrome, really everything that can kind of come up, you know, when you're working 60, 70, 80, sometimes 90 hours a week, and you're not even a business owner. So let alone doing that and running your business obviously has quite the emotional and financial toll on veterinarians. But yeah, there were two very well-written profiles in NPR, as well as Time Magazine, they're online, highlighting the, not the correct word for it, but epidemic or serious issue surrounding suicide within VetMed. The NPR article did a really good job profiling the group called Not One More Vet, pretty well known, I think, at least on Facebook with veterinarians and registered vet techs and everything there. But yeah, just really highlighting some of the CDC's information about suicide numbers within VetMed, that women are 3.5 times more likely to pass away due to suicide compared to the regular population. Yeah, and you know, Time Magazine, they did a really good job writing up, especially going into some of the numbers. They highlighted a conversation with a young vet that had, he's now left the profession twice, and now he works as a trade consultant within the vet industry, I think in DC. But, you know, talking about all the different things that vets go through. Obviously, financial burden is a big thing with the income to debt ratios, but going deeper into euthanasia, kind of day-to-day we have to deal with, long hours. And one interesting topic was cyberbullying. And this was something I personally witnessed just in the last 2 weeks, is my own hometown Facebook page. Somebody had commented in the Facebook group about the local veterinarian, completely baseless claims that they had taken their dog in for a bath and toenail special and walked out with a $300 bill and, you know, put the veterinarian on blast on Facebook. Thankfully, this time, it was a kind of a social media justice served, and there were 400 comments on this Facebook post in a tiny little town. Every single one of them was on the veterinarian side. So it's really good to see. I know that is not the case, but going in, just, you know, it's veterinarians, they get it from every angle, and, you know, not one thing is specifically attributing to the suicide issue within VetMed. But, you know, I did want to highlight one thing that my wife was telling me through her employer. So each one of the interns in her class at this company here, they've been paired off. They each have a mentor, and they have to meet with their mentor at least once a month and talk through how work is going, personally, how things are going, discussing burnout, different things. And then also the medical director of the practice, she personally is coming and meeting with the group as a whole and doing kind of a group sessions, at least I think every quarter or so. And they just had their first one the last couple weeks. And from what I've heard, it's been extremely productive, just talking through with, you know, how things are going personally, professionally, talking about burnout, talking about, you know, National Suicide Prevention Week and all the things that are kind of positive in the industry as well as plaguing the industry. But, you know, it's not a fun topic to talk about. It's a extremely important topic to talk about. As Isaiah said, we have no formal training. We don't claim to have any. We know this is an issue that needs to be talked about. Unfortunately, finance is a very big contributor to this topic. So any way that more financial education can be brought in, resources, I think it is great. But we are going to link to some things in the show notes, especially for Not One More Vet, as well as a couple of Facebook groups that we know some people who run them that I think are really good in terms of helping with personal finance, as well as obviously the National Suicide Hotline. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think the more that we can have programs like Banfield coming up with mental health programs, I think they're just rolling out as soon as January 2020. They had a few social workers come in and help them develop the program. But, you know, small practices, I think the more we can mentor our young veterinarians, I think the more practice owners that they can come up with mastermind groups and other people in the area. And I think everybody looks at other practices in the area as competition, which I think is true. But at the same time, I think they, in one of the articles, they mentioned there's nearly 85 million homes in the US that have pets. And thinking about, obviously, there are a lot of vet practices, but to think that each vet practice can be successful, I think that's true. There are so many vet practices in certain towns. But at the same time, I think as long as we're operating, you know, good businesses, I think if you can bounce ideas off of your colleagues in the area, colleagues out of state, and just discuss what you're going through. Again, not professionals in this at all, but I think just the more we can destigmatize this conversation, talk about it more openly, talk about money more openly. Money is such a taboo subject. I think it shouldn't be. It's the one of the few things in life that we all have to deal with. And so the more we can talk about it, I think the more important it is. And I think the less of a stressor it'll be if we can just have an open conversation. So I'll get off my soapbox, but Isaiah, do you have any kind of follow-up comments on anything?
Yeah, that was really a great overview of the different articles and topics. And yeah, like Dan said, we'll absolutely make sure those are resources that are in the show notes. That way you can access it. The one thing that was interesting in the Banfield piece that was put out, it talked about how 1 in 6 veterinarians consider suicide at some point in their career. That figure shocked me, and it shouldn't shock me just given some of the things, but man, like that's far, far too many. And in the Time magazine article, it talked about how, you know, the person they highlighted would be asked to waive vet fees at least once a day. And I've heard that time and time again, where even if someone can't afford it, it's just like, oh, well, we'll just do this for free. Or if you don't do it, then you feel like the bad guy. And now you're the evil person that is money hungry and has to make money to do this. What I think people fail to understand, and I did before I even really got knowledgeable around the industry, is, you know, there's all kinds of outside things where, you know, they're running a business. They have bills they have to pay. They have people, they have staff, they have debt to service. They have all these other things. They have to charge for their time and charge appropriately. And you went to school for 8 years. Like, you have a lot of knowledge to share and are there to help someone. And I think people need to understand that you should pay for good advice, whether it's in vet med, financial advice, anywhere. Like, you should just, you should be under the assumption that you pay for that kind of stuff, and it shouldn't necessarily be free. There's a lot of good free resources. And I think there's a lot of folks within vet med that have great blogs or videos or things where they try to educate the public to hopefully improve that standard of care. But when something does happen, they are there to help and make sure that those pets are taken care of in the right manner. And yeah, I applaud Banfield, and I don't want people to think that, you know, this podcast is anti-corporate, because it's not. It's just encouraging people that, you know, they need to find whatever, you know, their life, you know, live their great life, right? That's an XYPN type of motto, but, you know, let them live their great life. And if they want to go work for an organization, I think Banfield stepping up and doing what they're doing and closing down all the different practices, announcing a new training program, having a self-assessment and spending money and time on that. That's awesome. I mean, I tip my hat to them for doing that and making sure that they're taking care of their staff appropriately. So this is by no means, you know, shots at anyone else. I just think for someone, if they want to do something themselves, they should be able to explore that option and not just take someone that might have a vested interest in them not starting a business advice saying, "Hey, well, you shouldn't do this. And these are the reasons why." Like, dig a little deeper when someone pushes back on you like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, you know, one area that just through conversations with my wife and her classmates from vet school was just conversations around teaching associates how to speak to clients about finances and setting expectations. I think it's a skill that is extremely important and often overlooked within at least the academic side of vet school and application of what they learn. You know, just because, again, it's you do have to make money, and we can't be giving, you know, services away for free. But, you know, learning to have conversations with the clients so that, you know, hopefully when they're faced with the question of giving away services for free or performing a euthanasia because of financial limitations, the veterinarian, you know, knows how to have that conversation, knows how to talk to them about money and ways that maybe clients can actually use alternative financing methods like care credit or the various options. But yeah, I mean, I think the more this can be discussed and talked about openly and personal finance and money with clients is, I think, going to take some steps. Obviously, there's a lot of different angles, but yeah, I mean, unfortunate topic to have to talk about, but I think it was important that we mentioned it just because of a lot of the recent news coming out.
Yeah. And I would encourage people to check out episode 15 with Tony Ferraro talking about payment plans and structuring some of those things. And the title of the episode is really what it's all about, which is meeting your clients where they are financially. And, you know, Dan mentioned care credit. I would agree. I think there's a place for a lot of different options, but show them how they can afford to take care of their pets. And you'll see that acceptance rate and compliance from that move higher, which is the ultimate goal. The goal is not to extract the most value out of the people coming into your practice. It's to take care of the pets and provide better care. And part of that is offering options to make sure that they can afford that care. And it's not doing it for free. You cannot do stuff for free and run a business long term, because once you do that for one person, you're going to do it for two, and then you're going to do it for three, and then it's going to be a habit. And then you're going to get to the point where it's 10 or 15 years later and you're doing a bunch of work for free and you're struggling to get by and you may never be able to retire. And then that this whole vicious cycle starts over again. And yeah, so again, Dan and I are not the foremost experts. I will tell you, and I will make this promise now, this is something where I'm actively working to bring on someone that is an expert and trained medically to talk about this, because I do want to make sure that we have resources to provide someone to, you know, listen and maybe revisit the conversation on how to not only cope, but get through and see the other side. And you should absolutely, if you ever get in a situation where you're feeling that way, reach out, talk to someone. Don't just say, you know, when someone says, "Oh, how are you doing?" say fine. I would encourage everyone to always dig deeper and say, you know, fine is what's said when you think someone else doesn't care. So if you think someone's struggling, they say they're fine, dig a little deeper and try to get them to open up. And if they do open up, listen, give them the time of day, listen to them. And, you know, you may change the course of their life. And you know, that sounds really kind of silly and funny to say, but it is absolutely the case where sometimes people just need to be heard and vent and explain where they're at, and they'll come to the other side and they'll feel better about it. And maybe you can offer some perspective because maybe you've been there. And that goes for all walks of life. It's not just in vet med. It's just anyone that you know in your social circle or in life. Is we just need to be a little kinder to each other and open up and be a listening ear. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm excited about being able to bring some other resources and have some people on to chat on this further. So with that, thank you so much for listening. I know it's a little different take on a radio show, but hopefully you find it enjoyable and gives you some food for thought. Dan and I will be back next month. And between now and then, if you have any questions and ideas, you know, we'd always love your feedback. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for listening to today's show. All comments made on today's show should not be taken as investment, tax, or legal advice. All comments are for educational purposes only. You should talk to your professional team before implementing anything. Isaiah Douglas is the founder of ID Financial Planning and Wealth Management. Isaiah is a registered investment advisor in the state of Indiana. Dan Routh is employed by Old Peak Finance and is a registered investment advisor in the state of North Carolina. The biggest compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend. Reviews help the show get found, and Apple Podcasts is predominantly the platform that is how people listen to the show. If you have 3 minutes, love the show, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us an honest rating and review. That will help more people find the show. For all of today's links and information, head over to veterinarysuccesspodcast.com. There you can also subscribe via your favorite podcast platform so you won't miss another episode. Finally, if you'd like more information and insights and have the ability for your voice to be heard, join the private Facebook group. You can search for the Veterinary Success Podcast on Facebook or head over to veterinarysuccesspodcast.com. Scroll to the bottom section where it says about your host and click on the Facebook icon. Then I can let you join the group and would love to hear from you there. Thanks for listening, and I'll be talking again to you soon.